Get those nerds!
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 Party nerds. Party nerds. Party nerds. Party nerds.
Party nerds.
Party nerds.
Party nerds.
Party nerds.
Party nerds are back. Everybody, give it up.
Yeah. Woo!
If you guys, some of you guys noticed, some of you guys hit us up. What happened to you guys last week? Well, we're based in New Jersey, and we actually had all these weathermen people saying, you're going to get the blizzard of the century. It's going to be 2 feet.
Yeah,
and then
snowpocalypse.
Snowpocalypse.
Everywhere.
And we had our engineer tellers like, we're all going to die, dude. You guys just stay home. So
Bravo didn't listen and still drove up.
So, did you really?
I did.
So, of course, believing the meteorologist's hype, we canceled the show. And what did we see when we woke up?
Sunny Bravo
skies.
Made it to the radio.
It looked like someone just dumped a little bit of a Snoopy snow cone all over it. It was nothing.
See, I was in 75 degree weather in California. Sucks for you guys.
Hi, my name's Aubrey. But that's
we're casting a new Star Wars girl for the podcast.
Hey, hey.
Samantha's like, I will one day. You're
right. She's just waiting. Just rubbing her hands like a super
soon
villain,
the
like,
throne will
when?
Be mine.
When?
R2-DD2. How about double C3?
Okay. Oh my god.
What is
wrong with
Charn? Samantha, we love you if you're listening.
Oh my god.
That was, all right. So guys, welcome back. It feels like so long, man. You know, we're all like family. So we got a lot to go over today. This is our Iron Fist podcast, and we've been talking about the show. There's been a lot of hype surrounding it, and we got a lot of very strong opinions about the show.
Uh-huh.
And we got some big news because shortly we're going to be reaching out to one of the cast members from the show, Nikita, who played one of the Butcher Brothers, will be calling in shortly. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, to my left, we got the real life superhero. Bro! Okay, and just to let you guys know a little background, Bravo was on the news, and I didn't know until I went on social media and saw people repost his face. I'm like, wait a minute, what did he do? Bravo, so you saved someone's life. What exactly happened?
Me and my girlfriend witnessed a car accident. A car had flipped over several times, actually, and I had my girlfriend call the police, and I ran out and helped the 4-year-old daughter and the mother, who was flown about 30 feet
from
the vehicle. Yeah, she had a head wound, like, she was in shock, like, both her and her daughter were in shock.
When you walked over to the scene, were you afraid to see something like that? I'd be so afraid to what I might see.
Yeah, like, to not give anybody any traumatic thoughts, like, unfortunately, when I ran over there, the 4-year-old got out of the car. She was thankfully uninjured, and she was just screaming, my mom. So, like, my first thoughts were, since I didn't see anyone else, was, oh my god, this mother's probably like either unconscious or dead in the front seat.
Oh my god, dude.
And when I went over there, she was not there. So I was like very confused, and it was on the edge of like a swamp. So like at first I thought she was in the water because I heard her. She was wearing all black.
Mm-hmm.
But if she had been flung like another 5 feet, she would have been in the water.
Wow, you know what?
Wow. And,
but guys, give it up for Bravo, man. Real life. Now we keep saying you should have worn your
Deadpool.
You should have worn your Deadpool mask.
Everybody exactly. keeps telling me that, and all I keep thinking about is the teaser trailer, though.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my
would not have been a good
terrible.
Situation.
Start laying on a body.
At least but, to keep it serious. Did you hear?
Taryn, Ariana, I hope you guys have a speedy recovery.
Yeah, all right,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so, and before we go to our we have a couple guests tonight. To my right, we have Edward.
What
What's up,
Ed? People? What's
it's
going on,
not
boy?
That Ed is a guest.
Yeah, I know, right?
he's your boy.
He's boy. Not my boy, not their boy. He's your boy.
Your
Ed.
Boy. What's going on?
How you feeling, Ed?
Everything went well. Last week on Thursday, after all the snow pretty much just melted, me and Jervis, who Jervis is not here this week, we actually went to +2 Comedy's podcast.
Oh, with Noah.
And we did
Will.
It
oh,
with awesome. Noah and Will, and it was a lot of fun. They have it on
we
their
heard
website.
It. You guys
right
did
now.
A great job.
It was
that
a
was
lot
hilarious.
Of fun. It was very different, just kind of talk about a lot of different topics. We talked about Jervis's acting history, Nintendo Switch, played a couple of games, trivia as well. And apparently all of us collectively got to make fun of Bravo. too.
Oh, there you go.
It was our one chance
even
to kind
when
of
you're
bend.
Not there.
It was our chance to kind of vent in studio.
It's a good thing I didn't listen to it. Yet.
And then on the other side of us, we have Devin Wade. What's up, homie?
What's up, man?
you laying in the cut today.
I'm chilling, man. I didn't see Iron Fist. I feel weird because Sneaky Fist is next to me. Dude next to me, dog.
We'll talk. We'll introduce him. We got him.
Man, I don't trust boy like that. This nigga digging your pocket.
Why do you think we made him sit next to us?
Maybe he'll fix your phone.
See, this is the type. You know what? Free upgrade.
I'm gonna put my phone in this pocket over here, dog.
He's
then,
gonna turn
and next
into
to Devin,
carrot.
We have our friend who just got back from touring all over the United States, Aubrey.
Right.
What's up, Aubrey?
Hey,
rock star.
How's it feel to be home?
Mm.
Oh
wow!
I was in like tank top and shorts. Well, actually pants, but tank top all week. Hiking, doing everything outdoors. Went to Napa Valley. Went to wine tastings, and then I came back to freaking
to real life.
Freezing cold.
To the bullshit.
Snow on the ground. Philadelphia. Uh-huh.
We don't feel sorry.
Yeah.
Welcome back,
Lenny. You travel all over the freaking world, so I'm sure you
so
don't.
So some of you guys are listening, thinking to yourself, "Who is Lenny?" Well, I'm just going to give you a brief from the beginning. When we first started this whole party nursing, Lenny has always been there for us behind the scenes. Me and Lenny go way back. We used to work security together back in the day. He was the one, a lot of the big guests we've had on in the past came through Lenny. Guys, give it up for our boy Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny.
Yay, Lenny.
What's up?
Lenny. And so, and let them know a quick little background. Like you're trained in martial arts, right?
I've been doing martial arts since I was a little kid on and off. Lately, for the last 10 years, I've been doing some Filipino martial arts.
Is that called seppuku? Just like, yeah. I know nothing. Well, I know less than Jon Snow.
Seppuku is... Oh, my God.
God help me. Taylor, can we edit this out?
We'll end it at that.
See, this is why I like Lenny on the show as well, because, like, me and him just have inside jokes without even saying anything.
They're like, oh, my God. Darnell's such a buffoon. He knows nothing. So, anyway. And you say you know a lot, and we're going to get into this more, but you know people in the industry that train a lot of these actors, right?
Oh, yeah, there's stuntmen in the industry.
That's awesome, man. Well, Lenny's the man, and guys, we have a special guest. We met this gentleman actually at the Wizard World,
Philly,
in Philadelphia. Some of the stuff he's Devin's afraid of him right now.
Don't trust him.
He is pretty much David Blaine.
David Blaine on a smaller scale.
Introduce
yourself. So, everybody, give it up for Mike Paldino.
Mike.
He is here because he has a show coming up in Philadelphia at the Ruba Club called Psychotic, or Psychic, if you will, depending on how you read the logo. So it's going to take place this Thursday at the Ruba Club at 8 o'clock. It's only $10 to get in, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Mike, you want to tell him a little bit more?
Sure. It's a show.
Whoa, that's a start.
All right,
give it up for Mike, everybody. Yeah. It's a show, guys.
Yo, Devin's trying to cut away from him really fast. Right.
Listen. So Mike, let me ask you, how long you been doing magic for?
Since I was like 7. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm 39 now.
You started like with the little like the Kitty City kits, the little box where you can like make rings like attach and detach. Did it start there?
So if Cribs went to your house, like would every room be where the magic happens?
Oh, yes.
Okay, see there you go. That's the one thing I used to always get annoyed by Cribs. So this is where the magic happens.
But this dude wasn't born. He's a fucking liar. This dude he wasn't born, dog. He's been doing magics for all of eternity.
Wow, man. So, I mean, do you go across the country or do you stay more local with your shows?
Both.
Okay.
I have, you know, corporate and private clients. I do a lot of college touring, things like that. This show has kind of been my, like, labor of love the past couple years. I was doing a show in Philly prior to this, kind of on a smaller scale in a shop, and it was more more foot traffic kind of audience as opposed to something like this. I think it was more specialized. But this show is kind of closer to what I want to do as far as progressing what I want to
do. You have assistants? Do you have like a girl up there like with that Vanna White type of girl that gets sawed in half, or
are you volunteering?
They call me Vanna Black, dog.
I was going to say, we don't saw her in half, but she's got no legs, so it's like the same thing.
Well, I mean, so just to let you know, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm stopping right there. Oh, boy. But no, that's awesome, man. So when's the show going to be, and how can people get tickets?
It is this Thursday night, starting at, doors are at 7:30, and the show begins relatively promptly, hopefully, by 8 o'clock. Tickets are $10. You can go to eventbrite.com and search me and find them there, or you can go to my Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. The links are just whatever. It's just at Mike Paladino pretty much everywhere.
Now, do you, a quick question before we move on. Like, David Blaine is obviously like the modern day like magician, but obviously magic goes back to, you remember the days of like, you know, the, you know, obviously Houdini, then you had David Copperfield in the 80s, you had like Blackstone. Who do you look up to? What magicians are you like, yo, I like that guy?
You know, David Blaine's great.
Penn and Teller.
If there was no Penn and Teller, there probably wouldn't
dude,
be me.
By the way, I met both of them. They are the nicest dude. I met them at Harris, mm-hmm. Bravo, in the elevator. I'm like, yo, who's the big one? Penn?
Yes, Penn
Gillette. You're a big dude. I was like, you're a big bitch. But no, that's awesome, man. So, guys, give it up for Mike. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. We are all...
No, well, let's tell the story. So the first time we got a chance to see Mike's work was actually at Wizard World Philadelphia. We were there. We had our booth last year. So Mike was there just doing some touring, just kind of promoting his work through his social media. And he came to our booth to do a little bit of work. He had his videographers there as well, taping a couple of shots of some tricks that he did with some of the locals in attendance. So then he was just like, he looked for one of us to do some work on, and Dev just had to be the unlucky soul, if you will, because apparently we grabbed the most paranoid person out of the podcast. And a lot of, if you want to tell more of the story, go ahead.
Tell. I'm just saying, I'm not telling nothing. I'm just saying that he do stuff like, he could probably like touch your shoulder and tell you to sneeze, and you'll sneeze out of your butt and shit out your nose. No,
that's called possession.
Right? Dev, I'd like to know how your mind works sometimes.
Yeah. Know, right? What? It went from like magic to The Exorcist in like 2 seconds.
What happened was, Devin met him when he had some type of diarrhea going on, and he somehow equated it to, you did that, you made me fart. Yeah. Like, nah, man, you just nasty.
No, the thing is, listen.
Devin overtrusted a fart and tried to blame it on someone else.
He did some very simple tricks, but it still bothers my mind that I can't figure out these simple tricks where I'm fucking bending coins and shit in my hand, and he's fucking guessing my girl's name, and it bothers me. I don't think of myself as an idiot, but I feel like one, and that's why I don't trust this guy.
Well, you know, so if at some point you don't have a jacket, you got nothing on, we know who to
right.
blame.
Like, all of a sudden, and I leave.
Normally, Devin, were you wearing that shirt when you came in?
No, it's worse than that. You'll leave and like our drawers will be switched, bro. Like we might leave and I've got on Bravo's drawers, he's got on mine. And
this is so
it's gonna be like really awkward to find out what I'm wearing.
Normally people are paranoid with the black people in the room thinking like, oh boy, what are you gonna take from me? But finally, we're the ones that could be scared for
once. Yeah, let's give it up for that. Somebody else is taking that level.
He's like, I'll take your hubcaps this time.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. So, look.
Cut his mic off.
All right. So, let's get into the show. So, tonight, we are going to talk about Iron Fist. And Iron Fist has been anticipated since when Luke Cage dropped. And you guys remember when Luke Cage dropped in the last year? It was huge.
Lenny?
It broke the record for Netflix. It actually almost crashed Netflix.
That's Lenny?
Oh, boy. We're about to get into it. But before we actually, because we're going to all give our opinions on the show and get into it, but we have a special treat for you guys. If you guys have watched the Iron Fist series, and in episode 6, there were two characters. It was almost kind of like Enter the Dragon type episode where Danny Rand had to fight different levels of villains. Two of them were called the Butcher Brothers. We actually are going to be we actually have on the line one of the Butcher Brothers. Guys, give it up for Nikita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Thank you.
Welcome. Listen, man, and by the way, I apologize for not trying your last name. I just didn't want to say it wrong. So how do you say your last name?
With great difficulty.
Nikita Smith. What?
Nikita just meant the B-O-G-O is silent.
Yo,
it sounds very Russian.
Nikita, yo, thank you for calling in, man. And first of all, guys, give it up for it. He did a great job. You guys saw his episodes.
I didn't see shit.
It was a good fight.
Somebody on Instagram just said that episode 6 was the best one.
Oh, by far.
Laser Bem, I'm sorry.
It was
B-E-H-M.
I think it's because of RZA, to be honest with you. He's a big kung fu guy, big fan, and of that type of genre and that style.
Wu Tang Forever.
You know, the Grand Duel.
I think
it was exactly what he would do. And yeah.
Now let me ask you, because you know you're behind the scenes. You know, when you got the part, you know, did you have to go through like training? Like, what was you know, because you guys, that was a great scene. You know, when you guys just like kind of cut your hand.
It was intense. To put it mildly, I was there for a week, so I'm LA based, but I flew into New York, and a good 4 days were just, you know, the choreography and training and all that stuff. They did ask if we had martial arts background. For instance, the guy that played my brother, Stan Demidoff, the other actor, he actually has been practicing jiu-jitsu for the past, I want to say, at least 5-10 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Him definitely. Me, I kind of slid under the radar slightly, hopefully because of my performance. In the audition more than my actual athleticism. But it worked out because I did say, oh, I did do stunt fighting, stage fighting in different projects.
Right.
So I obviously didn't have, you know, an actual martial art background.
Right. But you know what? I will say that, like, you obviously, dude, you know, you hear, I mean, there's good and bad reviews, but I can tell you one of the positive things in that episode was it was just like, I mean, I love the scene. You're like, I love the scene where you guys were just like both going at him like hardcore. You know, how many takes did it take with Finn? Was that an all day shoot? Did he come a couple different days? How did that work out?
Actually, for that particular one, I think it was a full day for us, and we're talking, you know, 14-hour day there. And then for him, I want to say, poor guy, I think he went on to do the fight scene, or at least the preliminary fight scene setup with the bride of Spiders.
Oh.
So it was, yeah, it's pretty hectic, you know, for him to do that. And the biggest issue, though, was... not so much the prep or any of that. When we prepped with the stunt guys, the stunt team. So his double and, you know, the guys that actually doubled us, like my guy, he was great. His name is Braxton McAllister, really good guy, really talented. And so they showed us the choreography as soon as we got to New York. And they're like, you guys, and they ran the whole thing. So what you guys see is the edited version, right? You see basically broken down into 4 sections, you know, with dialogue. So minus dialogue, they just did the entire fight scene for us live.
Mm.
Wow.
And then they were like, okay, so this is what you guys will be doing. I almost ran away. I was like, are you joking?
You're like, I'm out of here.
Are you kidding me? I'm out. I just got there. I was so psyched. I was pumped because I'm thinking of the dialogue. And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is what you'll be doing.
Now, and now was RZA very, and by the way, like we said earlier, RZA, if you guys don't remember, if you guys aren't products of the 80s or 90s, you probably won't remember that RZA was part of Wu-Tang, and RZA did,
disgusting.
And wait, didn't he do the movie, Iron Fist?
The Man with the Iron Fist.
And actually, I don't think that was, if I remember correctly, you know, like, I don't, like, did you guys remember?
You're wrong.
It was two of them.
Yeah, there was one and two.
Oh, okay. So he's, I guess he probably most likely just like all of us grew up with the Kung Fu Theater on Saturday mornings. How was he to work with, like interact with?
He was great. I mean, it just felt like he knew exactly what he wanted. It was a little scary because we actually didn't get much direction in terms of like the acting style, but he just wanted the fighting. So luckily, if you guys enjoyed the acting, I'm really happy because I was kind of scared. Usually when I don't get any direction, I'm thinking like, uh-oh, did they not like it? Are they not saying anything? There's no feedback. Guys, help. but I think it just flowed, like, from the start.
Was that for the whole show, though? Was that for the whole show that there was no direction to the acting?
I was, I mean, I can only speak for what I was there, you know. So
well, we have a 2-time Kumite winner, and he also won the Mortal Kombat a fight that you've seen in the video games for 4 years straight. Lenny is in the building, and Lenny probably wants to talk to you about some of those fight scenes. What do you think about those fight scenes, Lenny?
No, I thought your fight scenes were good. No, and
I agree. I think the Butcher Brothers fight was actually one of the very first, like really, really, really good fights in that scene. So you actually did a wonderful job in that scene, dude.
Ochi and Harashu.
Thank you. Well, Braxton, my double. I mean, there's some amazing shots in there. I'm actually surprised there was more. There was even more stuff that we actually did, and just that didn't make the cut, I guess. So
question.
I don't know. Maybe
who was in charge of the stunt choreography? Was it Brett Chan himself?
It was, yeah. He did Marco Polo, so, I mean, it was in good hands. He was really hands-on, too. He was he knew exactly what to do. I was really happy.
Okay, good.
And the thing is, you said, mentioned before, in the comic, the Butcher Brothers they're one of the characters in Marvel Comics, and they still live, right? They're still alive?
Well, I don't know if they're part of the MCU officially. I don't think we're, like, the Dog Brother or anything like that. But what I mean is, I just looked up, I Googled it really quickly, shamelessly, but someone.
let me search mine own self.
Slightly, I may have Googled it. But someone made the Wikipedia and they put our entry down as, hey, these people are now part of the, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they list the status of the character. I'm all like, good, I'm alive.
You're not deceased. And part of that probably...
Yeah, not deceased, so Ken come back. Ken fuck over.
You're like, this time my knives are bigger. I mean, and the thing is, because Danny was struggling with the whole, I don't want to take a life thing. So that actually goes along with the storyline, So now let me ask you a question, like kind of away from the... Are you a fan of comic books and a lot of these shows? Before you got casted for Iron Fist, did you watch Luke Cage, Daredevil? Were you into all that?
I read for Daredevil like 15 different times. There's a bunch of Russian roles in there, and so they've been trying to cast me in the shows, and I was just so thrilled when I got this one. I mean Julie Schubert, she's the casting director in New York, a huge fan, because I really wanted to get on. I love comic book stuff, I love all the Marvel stuff, and it was just a dream come true.
That's awesome, man. And I know, even talking to you, like, you got a great personality, man. So, I mean, honestly, man, so, like, in the future, so you've been acting for, like, how many years?
Good. I mean, I've been in L.A. for about 10 years. It takes time. My issue is, even though, this is probably not the best example of character, but I am typecast as the Russian guy, obviously.
Oh, wait, so they don't typecast you as the black ball guy?
No, I mean, I keep reading for... I can't get those roles.
Let me hear your best Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas. Sweet Christmas.
Wow.
Sorry, that was hard.
Really?
I know. Really, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Nikita, I'm horrible with accents, dude. I'm just the worst.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
And you did a lot of modeling before you went into acting.
Of course, because Aubrey's looking at pictures of you topless right now.
No, I'm not. I mean, I have seen but I'm not looking at them right now.
Nikita, you're sorry?
I just learned something about Aubrey today. She was before the show.
So, all right, Nikita, you did modeling because right now Aubrey's looking. She's drooling on her phone right now.
Shut up. No, I'm not. Okay. That was before the podcast.
Let me fix up my hair. Hold on one second.
We're
on the radio.
Oh, yeah, right. So do you still do like print modeling, or are you just mainly
No. Honestly, the goal has always been from day one to just be known for good acting. That's the goal. That's it. That's all I want to do. If one helps me with the other, then great. But that's the ultimate goal.
Well, brother, look, we thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed your episode. Guys, give it up for Nikita. And before he goes...
He sneaked dissing.
What did you just say?
Oh, wait, Nikita, you're from Voorhees, right?
Voorhees, New Jersey.
Yeah, me too.
Not born, but raised.
So, and unfortunately, he grew up with fellow party nerd originator Jorge. And I'm sorry to hear that, man. You know, like, I've heard sad stories before, but that's pretty sad, the fact that you know Jorge. Did you guys go to...
Hey. I'm coming from the Street Fighter 2 era, you know?
Are you...
an arcade game. No, there's plenty of good memories there.
Are you a gamer?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
What are your favorite games, Nikita?
Well, I'm a PC gamer, and I'm currently rocking Heroes of the Storm, to be honest with you. It's taken over my life.
That's like me. That was like me with Overwatch last year. It was the same way. Like, just Blizzard games just know how to kind of grab you in.
I'm checking my MMR ratings and scores every 20 seconds.
Oh, man.
You know what? We actually need to do a Comcast. That makes perfect sense. A podcast. I got to pay my bill. We need to do a podcast where we talk about the difference between PC gamers, PS, because there's some people, they just play. Are you just exclusively PC? Do you have Xbox?
I'm just exclusive PC because I grew up with online gaming, and this was before, Xbox, was able to connect to anything, and same thing with PS, PS4 and all that.
Like Castle Wolfenstein and Maniac Mansion. Remember those boxes you used to get at the store with all the disc in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, still big like a classic porno box.
Pretty much.
Thank you, Devin.
So, I'm coming from when you used to have a modem for online gaming.
So, oh, yeah.
You know what I remember? I remember getting action figures, and they had hard disks with them, like Independence Day. If you bought some of the aliens, they had hard disk video games that would come with it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, Bravo, come on. Your beard.
How long ago
was that? Yeah, really.
I'm the youngest one except for AJ, so I don't want to hear shit from any of you.
So, guys, Nikita, thank you for calling in, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Brother, if ever you're in the area, you just want to stop by and just hang out with us, man, feel free to come through. You're an awesome
dude. We're fun.
If you guys like Philly cheesesteaks, I'm really long overdue for one.
Yeah, my dad has a place in the Reading Terminal.
Let's do it.
My dad has a place in the Reading Terminal, just saying.
Done.
Good to go, man. All right. We got you.
All right.
Free. Take care, brother.
Thanks a lot, guys.
So
now that he hung up, everybody that thinks that the show is trash can say it.
No, wait. So, all right.
He's still listening.
So man. This is
what, yeah. So
no.
This is Party Nerds, man. We keep it real.
Okay, guys. Stop it. Now we're.
No, you are the worst.
All right, guys. So listen, everyone. This is going to be a little chaotic. So
I was so nice.
We all waited. Everyone was hyped for Iron Fist to drop.
I mean, I was. I don't know.
Hi, AJ.
Hey, guys.
Okay. AJ just died. AJ, our magician friend Mike just made AJ appear out of nowhere.
Exactly.
And then he raised an eyebrow and looked at us like, you see what I did? It was amazing.
Thank you.
Everybody started getting bad feelings when all the critics came out and it got a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, we've talked about Rotten Tomatoes before. We've talked about you can't really trust Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they're very inconsistent.
But the thing is, I know we're going to get into it, but there is a lot of complaints about this Iron Fist series. And there's a lot of things to touch on. But let me I'm going to start with the positives. All right? So let's go backwards. What I did like about the series.
The cameras were really clear.
High definition character.
High dynamic range.
Good microphones.
No,
it ended. All right.
No. I know. This is what I'll say about the series. It had its moments. It definitely had its moments, and not only that, I thoroughly enjoyed the acting of the Ward Meacham character. I didn't like him at first at all. I thought he was bad. I was like, this guy can't act. He's not good. But then
was that the Phil Hartman guy?
The Phil Hartman.
Looks like Phil.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. But
I kept thinking he looked like Justin Long.
But the thing is, if you guys, when you watch the series, his character actually was one of the ones you actually are kind of invested in, because he's trying to impress his father, but his father is out of his mind. But I liked what they did with his character the most, aside from Colleen. Okay, all that being said, Lenny is like that kid in school that just is shooting. He's shooting spitballs at all of us.
Exactly,
right now.
That's Lenny.
Lenny. Lenny, what?
I'm the nicest guy.
What will you say? Give us your pros and cons about Iron Fist. Like, what?
Your cons and cons.
Jesus. There's no pros.
See?
the cons. The biggest, my biggest gripe in the whole thing is the writing.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just so inconsistent. There's so many holes.
There's so many hypocrisies.
And it's not necessarily the actor's fault. It's just the writer's fault. Yeah. It's like high school kids wrote it, and they won a prize to get featured.
Honestly, you know what it made me think of? Wow. It made me think like a rich, affluent white kid who's never been in a fight in his life watched a couple kung fu movies and is that kid going around the school telling everybody that he knows Shaolin kung fu
based on watching Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yeah,
all right. And so
that's what he reminded
me. And so like and Devin, you did see the first episode.
I saw was the first episode. I was entertained. I thought a lot of stuff was stupid, but I was cool with it.
But I mean, the first fight scene, when he when he walks into the building,
no one fights like that.
Everyone was saying it was so ridiculously slow
for the first four episodes. I'm telling you right now, there had to have been a different team, like either producer, stuntmen, director, something different in the first four and a half episodes, because the choreography was really, really bad. It was very basic and it was so slow. And what's worse is you can fix some of those even in editing. So the fact that they couldn't do it better with even the editing,
they could have
makes
speeded it
worse.
It up.
Not even the editing, because a lot of stuff in stunt fighting is actually the angles of how you shoot it.
Yeah.
Right? So if that's wrong and it's bad, I don't care how many hours you put in editing, it's going
to
be bad.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're the only ones to blame. I'm saying they could have been. They're also a little bit at fault too. But like you know,
and you can only do so much with an actual actor who has no
background,
correct?
Background in martial arts or athletic ability.
Well, and that's the thing. And he's and I, first of all, guys, I met Finn Jones, and he really straight up. And you were with me.
He was a nice guy.
Like, I don't care what people say. Like that, I was, and I'm going to get into my opinion about it. But I was mad because I agree with Lenny 1,000% that the writing to me was inconsistent. Mm-hmm. There was times during the series I was like, first couple episodes I'm like, oh, then I'm like, oh, that was a good one. You'd get a good one, you might get a good two, but then all of a sudden, matter of fact, I was telling everyone,
all of a sudden you see Iron Fist and it's
when it comes to writing, like literally I think it was in episode 2 or 3, you had Danny Rand talking to Joy, pretty much who grew up like his sister or whatever. Yeah. And he was talking about his experience, you know, when he was in, what's the location?
Kunlun.
And probably by episode 5 or 6, I promise you they had the same conversation again in a different thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, didn't the writers realize that he already went over this?
Well, not even that. For for 5 episodes, they dragged out an idiot plot. An idiot plot, for those that don't understand, is a plot that only exists because the main character is an idiot. He's talking about how, I need to prove to them I'm Danny Rand. I need to prove to them. Then we see a flashback, and it's like, why don't you just quote the flashback?
Right, right. No, that was my gripe. I kept telling them, is like, when you meet somebody and trying to prove something, but movies do that in general. Like, a lot of times people don't
explain
themselves well. But
that's just fine if they didn't show that flashback. If they showed that flashback, it's like, bro, you literally just showed the entire audience. So everyone in the audience is screaming, just say that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And Darnell, what you were saying is that some episodes you thought were good and some maybe not. So I felt like that with scenes. Like, some of the scenes in the episodes, I'm like, oh, that's a really good scene. I'm feeling no. Okay, never mind. Oh, well, maybe. Nah, never mind.
Here's what I think. If you take Iron Fist out of the equation and all these scenes, it's actually a good show.
With the Meachums.
Wow!
No, he's right. The Meachums did.
Meachums are awesome.
The stories with the Meachums actually were phenomenal. The writing on that was actually great because there was no hypocrisy with anything. Like, you have Danny Rand saying, like, in the first four episodes, he's Deus Ex Machina. He's Mr. Zen Master. Yeah. He's, you guys have to be calm. You have to be anti-materialistic. You have to always not be frustrated. Then every other scene, you see him going, and I need to have my daddy's company, Bravo, and I need an Aston Martin.
Bravo, what is that called?
Hypocrisy.
No, it's called, welcome, guys, to the millennial superhero.
Oh, God. Wait, you know, and
that's what it is, though. Look at how he's acting. Everything was given to him. He's acting like a little bitch.
Well, not even that, too. You have
attack, and he's like, he's a snowflake with his emotional.
One of the biggest.
That's a millennial superhero. That's what
he is. One of the biggest ones to me that, like, I couldn't let it go. There was no way, in any way, shape, or form, that whoever wrote this, they should have been like jobless.
Excommunicated.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sent to the island of Patmos.
They should never be allowed
mean.
To write again.
You guys are
it was
mean.
This man trained for 15 years to defeat an organization called the Hand, and he didn't believe that they existed.
Or
he even said, he said I thought it was a legend, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So wait a second, let me get this straight. You trained for 15 years to defeat this thing.
All right,
thing.
But Bravo, is that based on the comic? Like, here's someone, I haven't read the whole Iron Fist comic. So what, Lenny, did you guys, you know, in the comic, what is the storyline? Does he know who the Hand is in the story? Does he believe they exist?
And so, first off, the monks, it's actually weirder in the comics, and I'm glad they didn't stick too true to it, because the monks in the comics aren't humans. They're humanoid aliens. Like, that's how it comes to Earth.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little weird with
that's
that kind of
dope,
thing.
Though.
Yeah, but honestly, think about it. If you saw it in a TV show, it'd be a little... It would take way too long to explain, and it'd be just a little too much. Instead, they said it's like a city of heaven.
If they couldn't pull off normal monks, what makes you think they could pull off like alien monks?
And see, in the
I mean, they don't look weird though, right?
Point.
They didn't look weird though, right?
In the comic, no, they look like they look
like,
literally
they
look
like
just
regular
arcs.
Humans. It's just like, yo, we're not from here, bro.
Yeah. Because they're not aliens technically. They're interdimensional characters. Like, so like their dimension crosses with ours. Oh. Just like he said, like how the mountain will disappear. But one of the things that they did explain in the comics that it was really like it irked me in the show, because it could have been solved with one line of dialogue, was, okay, so he trained with Buddhist monks. They're all clean shaven. Why does he have a gigantic beard and a Jufro?
Wow.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, in the comics,
well,
he
looks like the greatest American hero.
Wow.
In the comics, he explains that. He says, I'm an outsider, so I didn't feel it was right to do that. Like, they wouldn't let me cut my hair and make myself look like them. Cool. That one line of dialogue could have solved that entire thing. Now, instead, I'm sitting there going, what the fuck does he have a fucking beard for if he trained with monks for 15 years? They're beating him for fucking, like, not doing his practice right. You don't think that they wouldn't beat him for being cleanly shaven?
All right, and so another aspect, me personally, where it kind of lost me is, I don't care, you could have bad writing, if you invest me into the character, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. Every time I try to get invested into Finn Jones, Danny Rand, something happened toward like somewhere along episode 5 or 6, he just became a brat. He just became a whiny, and given if you see the first couple episodes, it's not him. He's more of the
relax,
you know, Confucius say, you know, in order to be wise, you must. And to me, I'm like, okay,
he's very happy go lucky.
And when I tell you it was an extreme, it's like, dude, you must be schizophrenic or bipolar to go from that to that. And once he went to that angry level, he never left it. And at first, I'm thinking like, man, was that Finn Jones? But no, there was one line, maybe in episode like 10, where someone said to him, it might have been the Hand guy, said to him, that's why you're so angry. So I'm like, you know what? That was written. They told him to start acting mad and stuff like that. Yeah. And to me, that's a shame, because, you know, I don't want to, Finn Jones, I still think, you know, he could have pulled it off. I mean, just like anything, you know, you put a canvas in front of me, you know, I can create
best
anything.
Actor in the world can't get over bad writing.
That's it.
Exactly.
That is it.
Let me ask this question, and I want to see where you guys want to take it, because I've been going back and forth with a friend of mine who's listening into the show. One of her comments was Finn Jones can't be intimidating. And the first thing that I thought of as soon as she said that was, am I thinking it in kind of like other superhero contexts like we did with DC? Is it the fact that Finn Jones can play a decent Danny Rand, but can't play an Iron Fist?
No, he's
kind of like an identity versus like a real life.
He was made for the role in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But at the same token, he doesn't have to be
intimidating. That's basically what he was made for. He was the wrong choice for a warrior.
I agree.
He doesn't have the demeanor of a warrior.
Well, you know who was going to get the purple
of a seasoned fighter? Right, of someone who went through the ringer of tests and brutal training,
right?
And to earn the Iron Fist
and that Zen quality that follows. But that was just it. He doesn't have to be intimidating. He just has to be like, just like Lenny said, you have to have that warrior thing. And yes, consistency.
Like Davos, his brother Davos.
Yes,
is a warrior. He walks around like a warrior.
And like, listen, they did touch it on the end of the video. I mean, at the end of the series, and they were like, "Oh, this world kind of poisoned you, and you don't know what you really want to be."
Why do they sound like Carmen from South Park?
Yeah,
this world kind of poisoned you.
But like, if they did that from the beginning, like they started him off as super monk. Yeah, and then right. all of a sudden he was immediate, like, not I'm Brat. Though. Like, well, there's no way it's that well, dramatic of a change. Well, my, like, if he started, like, a little bit unsure of who he was,
right.
I would buy it better. But when you're, like, saying, like, no, you guys have to, I didn't need any material possessions, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, cool. So you came to Earth talking about how you had no material possessions. Then when you have your Aston Martin, you're bragging about how you had the fastest cart. Like...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a weird shift tone. As soon as they gave him Rand, it was just kind of a weird shift.
Yeah.
In terms of what he was.
Oh shit! He gets Rand.
it's in the comics.
I need my dad's company. I need my dad's company.
Oh shit! He gets it. This is crazy.
Yeah, he gets it, but like it get. There's a lot.
Oh, I ain't watching this shit. I'm gonna play PlayStation. Dog. I got Battlefield 1.
Yo, did you get Horizon Dawn yet?
Yeah, I beat that already, dog. It's great. I'm playing Battlefield 1, man.
But go ahead.
I mean, there was, a lot of problems with that. And primarily, again, I just feel like with the character Danny Rand, it was an inconsistency, you know. And I feel I really did like the Colleen Wing angle. When her scenes came on, like when she went into the cage, I loved it. Like when she was
I enjoyed her fight scenes more than his.
Yeah.
By far. And that's another big problem I had with him. Even when they had him beat certain characters, I'm like, if this was real, he would have never, like the Drunken Master, that guy, there's no way he would have beat him. Yeah. That guy was just way too good.
Wait, there's no way he should have been in China with an Australian accent.
Yes! Thank you!
Well, he was actually from England.
And not only that, it was like all of the fight, like one of my biggest complaints with superhero movies and TV shows is when there's the inconsistency in the powers. Like, oh my God, Supergirl, a car's landing on her. Oh, it's so difficult to lift this car. But then it's like, oh, this weighs 100,000 pounds. Oh, I got this, no problem. Like, I hate the inconsistency.
But you're gonna
powers.
Have that with different so, writers on TV shows.
But,
you
that,
know?
But it's an inconsistency of powers. A car's about to run into him. He backflips over it. Cool. He takes out 15 armed guards. Cool. There's one goon who isn't even trained, managed to sneak up and sucker punch him while he was fully expecting to get into a fight with this guy. And then on top of it, you have Rosaria Dawson, who has no true fighting as her character.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, all right, these are the world's best assassins and everything like that. I grab this weapon, I'm instantly good as
that. Is that the part where Madame Gao was like, all right, kill the girls? And I'm thinking, Rosario Dawson's about to die. Like, she made a good run, because there's no way on God's green earth that Madame Gao, who's actually, like, uses the Force, like in Star Wars, she's going to put people around her that don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But obviously, they died very quick. Whereas... Now, this is her bodyguards, like the goon who snuck up on him in the office thing. He got so many shots in on Danny, and he was just a hired meathead. Yeah. And I'm just like, why did this guy have a better, like, take more? Again,
why? Because Danny Bland.
That's the running joke.
One of my friends told me that the entire series could have been so much better if they actually started it off with Danny in the mental institution. Now, some people were like, oh, well, you know, with Legion, they probably avoided that. Yeah, but I get that, but it's a completely different company. If they had started with Danny in the mental institution, going back to flashbacks of Kun Lun and him talking to people, and then by episode 5 breaks out or whatever, it could have been so much better, because even you would have been watching it going, what is true, and is he crazy or not?
He was in a mental institution? This is so
good. Those were like my favorite scenes, were those of him in the mental institution. And I actually found myself...
And explain why he couldn't use his powers.
Yes, and I found myself like saying the psychiatrist or the doctor or whatever, like, come on, just find out. You think he might be telling the truth. That I actually found was interesting. Mm-hmm. But... any interaction with him and Warden Joy, I was just like, all right.
And something else I'm going to add to everything, and this is something to me that's been the state. What do you guys feel with all the other Netflix Marvel series? What has been a consistent thing? To me, the villains have all been really good. Like, you can go to David Tennant, you know, as...
up until this, all the choreography was really good. And some people gave Luke Cage shit about it. It's like, he's a brawler.
Yeah, he's
as a
brawler.
Right. That choreography was perfect.
And the fight scene in Daredevil, the first real crazy one you saw, where it was all one take, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jessica Jones, excellent. she's not a traditional fighter.
Yeah. Right.
She's I'm going to use my force to get you away, and it was perfect.
perfect. How she
arguably, this one was about like the supposed best fighter, and it just didn't come across. And
no way he
like,
could beat Daredevil.
No, right. Based on this, I mean, not only chance. That, like, and if you guys look on our page, I put the meme up there where you see season one Daredevil fighting a hand. Mm-hmm. The hand looked, actually, that was like, season two I posted, but the hand, they were badass and they were mysterious. Yep. And this one, they made them a bunch of college kids. Like, and don't get it wrong. Like, again, guys, if you're listening, we're spoiling the shit out of this for you. We do apologize.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Yeah, he is dead, you know. But it's just like, I think that there was no one I was afraid of. That father,
Harold,
he wasn't, I didn't get him. Especially if you guys look, the last four episodes to me were just like all like what?
As far as
he's going to be the consistent bad guy because he's going to keep reappearing. They set him up for the next show.
No, he's cremated.
No, I don't know. His son Ward.
Oh yeah,
turned,
that's right,
Ward him. Based on the comic turns Ward, heel.
Yeah.
In the comics, Ward is actually the brother of Howard, not the son, and he does have a lot of problems with Daredevil and with Iron Fist, but I think. He wasn't a threat to Danny, which made it a big problem, but he was a threat to the Meachums, which made it like very interesting seeing how all of that went. But Madame Gao, again, that was also something inconsistent. Like when she wanted to kill the girls, it's like, why didn't you use your powers at all then? I get it later because it's like, okay, she's biding her time. She's actually thinking and planning out this stuff.
Right.
But when she's like, kill the girls. You're not going to even just use your force pin Danny?
And go ahead, AJ, because AJ, first of all, you were one of the ones that said you didn't think it was going to be good.
Well, I mean, I thought it was going to be, like, not as good as the other ones. Like, based on the trailers, nothing really caught my attention.
Me too.
Based on what they said, like, what they were trying to do with the story, nothing seemed to stick out to be incredibly interesting. Like, you know, with Luke Cage, you have, like, a lot of, like, you know, subtext with, like, what's going on in America right now.
Yes.
Jessica Agreed. Jones had to do, like, a lot of, like, Stockholm Syndrome and, like, or even, like, you know, like, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And Daredevil, like, that was just, like, batshit crazy. That was literally... But, like, what was the different thing about Iron Fist?
The trailer
like,
was horrible.
They could have been, like... They could have done something with it.
They could have done Culture Shock. They could have done Culture Shock with him coming back from 15 years.
I thought that's what they were going to do with the first two episodes was that Culture Shock. And I thought that... Like
what are shoes?
Yeah, like all yeah. a lot of different things. And then I think what happened was as soon as he got Rand Industries and started to basically become corporate Danny, if you will, it didn't seem like that. It seemed like there was never a Culture Shock to begin with. It's also like he went back to how he was as a kid.
As a kid.
When he was just used to that lifestyle.
They could have done so much.
Yeah, he saw an iPhone like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And guys, I'll say this. We have a lot of chat going on our live feed. Jess_Marvel_DC, who actually has a great account, mentioned in the comics, and a lot of people are talking about how it's so different from the comics. Danny can go hand-to-hand with T'Challa, but here in the Marvel comic universe, he says, no, I think they refer referred him, they dumbed him down a lot, is what he said. And do you guys agree with that? Do you guys feel?
Well, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Come on, he can't beat one guy in a truck with a knife and gets a chemist almost killed?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Come on, man.
I ain't watching this shit.
you should not watch this show.
You have to watch it because
there are some. I will say this. After the first five episodes, it is watchable. Me and Lenny are going to be a little more hypercritical about a lot of things, but it is watchable after that. Just watch it for the Meachums.
Fast forward.
I'm gonna say exactly the opposite of what you said.
He did.
And I'm gonna tell you
you're
why.
Allowed to be wrong.
and I'm gonna tell you why you need to work on your opinion, your own opinion.
Oh my God!
All right.
God.
So first of all, what I thought, it's almost just like talking about the Michael Bay movies. The second half of the season was more fights, more boom, more action. But to me, the story in the first five was more consistent. I think once they switched, once they turned Danny into the little whiny brat, that came out of nowhere. Like once he got checked out of the psychic ward is when, to me, the story just was like, wait a minute, who is this?
He was in
character?
A psychic ward?
I disagree.
Was reading minds.
Psychic ward. And the crazy. So
if you're talking about the writing specifically with Danny, yes. But if you're talking about the entirety of the writing, no, you're absolutely wrong.
Yes.
Like, the writing for the Danny,
let's
I will
focus
say.
Focus on the side where I'm right, though.
The writing with Danny, like, especially once it reached the mental institution, was great. It was fantastic. But afterwards, like, when he became the whiny bitch, it was awful. But the writing for everything else and the entirety of the story was really good.
Was really good. That's why I say... if you're going to watch it, just whenever you see Iron Fist or Danny Bland, just fast forward through.
I'm telling you, it had to be a different team.
Fast forward, just watch the Meacham story.
Yeah, you know what? It's excellent.
Big Meacham.
The Colleen Wing story, like with the students and stuff like that, and again, if you guys are listening, we are kind of spoiling it. Please don't listen anymore.
Too late for that.
Well, kind of find out that she works for the Hand. You know what I mean? And the Hand looks like a college campus.
I actually thought that was great writing.
You know, like, and it looks like a college campus.
Yo, you just really fucked this up for me.
wait, I'm sorry.
Why did you come on the podcast show that's
that was an unnecessary,
sorry.
Because I was just sitting there thinking, like, yo, why was she even, like, I see that she's an instructor, but was she going to be, like, chasing after looking at, like, people trying to rob him and pop him in his wig and all that? Like she would have ran about her business. Now you done told me that she worked for the goddamn Foot Clan.
And by the way, if you guys don't know, that Bravo, what's the history about Teenage Turtles connected to Daredevil?
So Daredevil received his powers from the same ooze that gave the powers to the Ninja Turtles. So they're actually taking place in the same universe. And the Foot, which is the ninja clan that Shredder's in charge of in Ninja Turtles, is actually homage to the Hand.
The Hand.
And there's one other one. I can't remember what it's in, but there is
the ear.
Ear, the Hand, and the Foot. I have no idea what they chose the ear.
Do they have the ball sack? Just a bunch of smelly dudes?
Right. Wow. Things are right.
Wow.
They just walk.
Cut his mic off. It's over. But then there's also Stick and Splinter. And Michelangelo was the first Ninja Turtle.
So. Yeah, Stick is in the Ninja Turtle movies as well. I mean, Ninja Turtle universe as well.
And so now let me ask you, Lenny, because being trained in arts, like as far as the fighting, obviously we talked about that first scene. What was it about that, like you having a sharp eye, and you too, Bravo, like for fighting scenes, where did they go wrong? Where did they go right with Daredevil? What was it, the choreographer? Was it the, like, what was it about the editing? Like, what made the fight scenes?
I don't know.
I'll actually let Lenny talk.
I really don't know. I have no idea where that went wrong, because if Brett Chan, who is, if you guys are familiar with Marco Polo, that is one of the best choreographed fighting scenes you'll ever see.
Right.
In Marco Polo.
So maybe it's the
and
people
Brett
he's
trying. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how it could be complete opposite of Marco Polo.
I mean, and again, like I did like the Drunken Master scene. Like that scene to me was it was a homage to Jackie Chan and all that.
Yep.
I thought that was one of the ones where I'm like think about the old Kung Fu movies. Like every series we saw Luke Cage, we saw Daredevil, we saw Jessica Jones. They all kind of reminded you of a type of series back in the day. Like with Luke Cage, like we saw like a New Jack City, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Had that feel.
Blaxploitation
joints. And then Jessica Jones was like a drama, like a CSI type of feel. Everything had its niche. With the Iron Fist, they really could have gone further into the whole Saturday morning Kung Fu theater thing. Like,
we will have a show about it soon.
Like, can you imagine if they would have showed someone and zoomed in on them, like, da-da, you know what I mean? Like, it's Bravo, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Or like Kill Bill.
Stretch their hands all along.
Like, if they would have done that, if they would have taken that artistic approach, I think they could have had a major, major hit with the show. I think they played it safe.
It also comes down to how much time they actually prepared for each show.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, Brett Chan's awesome, but if you don't give the stunt team enough time to rehearse,
they can only do so much.
Or even the budget to rehearse, because you need budget for stunt team.
For fighting, right.
So, you know, because you can't just rehearse for a week.
Right.
It's going to take months. Like, a lot of people look at Game of Thrones, like, you know, Battle of Bastards, like, I want that, right?
No scene will ever be as great.
If you don't have a budget to actually do that and rehearse and practice with costume, practice.
So, wait, did it seem rushed then, the show?
I think so.
Do you think they were trying to meet a deadline and they just kind of, okay.
I think so.
It doesn't take money to write well, though. Like, good writing doesn't take a budget. Right.
Well, you know, if I may chime into this, I can finally talk about something here. I have very strong opinions about like what Marvel's done, and it just seems like when they have the smaller films like an Ant-Man or Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing, they always have there's a better script, there's better direction because they had nothing to lose. Whereas all the Avengers movies seem to have gotten to a point where every standalone movie is just a coming attraction for the next Avengers movie.
Right,
and it seems like when they developed they kind of developed Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage simultaneously. So when it came to like, let's do the Defenders now, mm-hmm. it's like we just got to get through.
Oh, right. Iron okay. Fist to kind of, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
No, all right. So we do have that one character. All right. Let's put this team together. We'll do it. You know. But again, you know, what were you going to say, Ed? Like,
no, I think one of the things that kind of bothered me also, and one of my other friends who was listening in is commenting about, is that this, it's another one of those, I've heard this story before. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Arrow specifically, kind of a Doctor Strange to an extent. But for the most part, it's that Arrow storyline that we all kind of seen before. And also, it's harder to sell Iron Fist because of how grounded all the other Marvel shows are. And this one is kind of more like a very mystical La La Land, if you will. Like kind of like Danny in the beginning of the season is just kind of more like just kind of head in the clouds and yeah. everything else. Whereas the other characters like Daredevil, like Jessica Jones, like Luke Cage, they kind of understand the reality of where they are
right.
in that particular
okay.
moment in
I feel
time.
That.
And, see, that's and a, Danny Rand and Iron Fist is just not there for most of the season.
That's just it. That's a, another thing that they could have done with it is showed the whole aspect of, okay, he doesn't fit into our society. They started with it and then they were like, yep, now he figured everything out. And it's like, dude was away for 15 years, like training with monks.
So my question for all of you is
7 inches.
That, from the ground.
That's
a little bit of an overestimation, but
a little bit.
My question for all you guys is, now that Iron Fist is kind of like, I won't say like it was a fail, but like kind of a mediocre, does it make you nervous about the upcoming Punisher series and the Defenders?
No, I'm not worried about Punisher. I am not worried about Punisher.
I'm not worried about Punisher. I am a little worried about the Defenders because yes. I kind of feel like they're going to take on the Hand. And they're going to take on the demon, like that's what they kept alluding
God,
to.
They better not make Robert Meacham the main bad guy.
There's no way that they will.
No, I don't think
there's
no way. Either.
Like, here's the thing: is the Hand was created by like some mystical demon, and in Daredevil, like that's what they kept alluding to. That's why like they had that deep ass hole mm-hmm. and that one chamber pot that they put Elektra in.
Mm-hmm.
The entire point, and that's how she ends up getting revived, is this demon.
But wait, now, to stop you there, what if Madame Gal is the demon? Then that would be kind of cool.
Because remember, she said, my master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that's true. All right.
The one
but
thing that I did like...
But that would explain her with that the force abilities, though, if she's holding back.
I honestly think that she's a lot older because of the
she
other...
She said it.
Yeah. She's a lot older than she is.
17th century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lot older than she is. Like, she's been to Kunlun, obviously. Like, she's probably trained there because she explained about the tree. But... what I would love, and like, I loved how it was like, okay, now it really makes sense why Kingpin was a dick to everyone else. But then when Madame Gao came in, he was like, Madame Gao, yes. So good to see you.
Yeah, right. So, all right, guys. We actually, and we will, because we got to wait till some people catch up, Devin, and we got to hear some opinions like Jervis, his opinion. But real quick, so just to round this up, where do you guys, like, if you were judging all that, this is a question we put on Instagram, was this your least favorite of all the Netflix
Hands
series?
Down.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, 100%.
Okay, can they come back from this? You know, because by the way, a lot of people really like this, but here's my thing. When the ratings came out that it was only a third... Well, no, but what happens
there
is...
There are people that think the Earth is flat.
That's true.
But when people saw 13%, I think a lot of people went on Rotten Tomatoes, even though they had their about it, they rated it high just to kind of go against the critics. You know
Darnell,
what I mean?
Darnell, how do you feel about Batman versus Superman?
Don't get me started.
We're not going
You're
there.
You're giving him flashbacks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, so at this point, it's just like, all we can do is really just hope that because think about the Marvel movies that came out. What was there any bad one? Like Iron Man 3 was not good to me.
Trash.
That was
with the Mandarin.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay, guys, we didn't even get into the whitewashing issue because was that really an issue? In this?
No.
No.
But
nowhere
people were making this an issue.
It wasn't.
It's not.
It's not at all.
Because in the comic, Danny Rand is a white guy. Right.
Yeah. So. He's white.
It's literally somebody just trying to find a problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
It's kind of like we had this kind of similar discussion with Luke Cage where like they were kind of worried about how it was just kind of like an all black cast, even though it takes place
in Harlem.
Now you got the opposite with Iron Fist where they're like, oh, why didn't they have an Asian character do it? Nobody reads the comics nowadays? What the hell?
Plus the thing is, good writing is good writing.
Right.
That's what I think draws people in and keeps people watching.
I give it a 3 out of 10.
All right, so real quick, so you give it 3 out of 10. That's pretty. What about
that's
Lenny?
Really bad.
Lenny, what would you give it out of 10?
1.
Damn.
It don't dog. That's like
I'll give it 2 because of the Meacham story.
Okay. All right. Aubrey?
4.5.
Ooh.
AJ, you have, and
if you didn't see the whole thing, like Devin, you saw one episode, what would you give
that? I'm cool with that episode. I'm cool. It's better than the bullshit that I be seeing, like Gotham and all that shit, man.
Oh.
That shit's I can't watch that bullshit, son.
Wow. We actually have a guest from Gotham coming on the show live.
I'm going to tell him. No, that show was
bullshit. Yo, thank you, Dev.
No, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But he didn't tell you Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is even worse.
I've only seen like the first like 4 episodes, but thus far I give it like a solid like 6. Like I'm a little like lenient. It's like it's okay to me.
I would say like around 5 or 6, only because there are a couple of scenes that are redeeming. I do like the Colleen Wing story, like just kind of how she has like conflicting thoughts as well. I like the Drunken Master scene.
I thought it was actually a great scene,
and I kind of liked how he was taunting him the whole entire time. I thought that was actually
really well told. Like the writers kind of just put different movies into the
Real quick before we close, guys, I want to say a couple things because we're done. This was one of those flyby episodes, but I start off giving it a 7. I fell down to a 5 before it was all said and done. I did like Ward Meacham in a couple aspects, but guys, we want everyone, if you're listening, guys, say a prayer for our friend Amber. She's really not doing too good right now. She's kind of sick, you know, so we hope to have her back, and we know we're going to have her back really soon. So Amber, we love you, we're praying for you, we hope you get better. And guys, we're going to be doing a lot more when it comes to something for Amber. We're going to talk about soon. But again, guys, give it up. Great show.
Yo, thank you.
Thank you, Nikita, calling in. Nikita, you were one of the bright spots in the show. You were awesome.
Thank you, guys. Mike,
thank you for coming in, man.
Yo, he put Lenny's drawers on you. You don't
guys, make sure next week you tune in. We will be back. Party Nerds out.
Later. Woo. Y'all, peace out.
Party Nerds, Legato, 80s cartoon medley, transform.